Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation, chapter 6 is a scene where John has this vision where the Lamb in heaven is opening the seven seals. And the text that we're going to be reading this morning is the opening of the sixth seal, which begins with verse 12 and runs through verse 17 of Revelation 6. John says, "I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak clearly to us this morning, that our hearts might be open to your word, and that you might renew in us the grace, renew in us our love for you as the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The other day I heard that Firestone was laying off a bunch of workers. It's not hard to guess why, is it? If you've been following at all what's been happening with Firestone over the last couple of months, you know that Firestone is in the middle of what they call a public relations nightmare. Many of the tires that they had made failed. So as cars were going down the road at a high rate of speed, the tires came apart, and the cars or trucks crashed, and many people died because of that. And understandably then, people aren't buying Firestone tires much anymore. The public has kind of lost confidence in that company. And as a way of trying to shore up their public image, Firestone's been spending a lot of money in an ad campaign. Even the CEO of the company has come on television and tried to convince people and assure people that he's on the job. And that they know that they had a problem, but they're fixing that problem right now, and that they can be assured that Firestone tires are safe for their cars. They're spending a lot of money on that because they know that they've got a lot riding on that. There are a lot of people that are saying that this could be the end of Firestone as a company. They might go out of business for good. Public relations has always been essential. Public relations has been around as long as there's been a public. It's always been critical for an institution to have the support and the backing of the public if it was going to be successful. Institutions that lost the support of the public very quickly ended. They went out of business, so to speak. And the church itself hasn't been immune from that pressure either. Of that pressure of having to have a good public image. See, the church too, like Firestone, has a public relations nightmare. And our public relations nightmare, very simply, is the God of the Old Testament. You know, that mean old man of a God who seems as though he just sits up in heaven waiting to find someone he can punish. The God who seems so ready to destroy people. The God who sent his people into cities with orders that they had to kill every living thing, men and women and children and animals. That God is our public relations nightmare. And so, through the centuries, people in the church have felt that burden, and they've said, what are people going to think of us when they read about these things? What are they going to think about the church if they read that this God in the Old Testament was so mean? And so through the centuries, the church, in one way or another, has tried to kind of downplay the role of the mean old God of the Old Testament and highlight, rather, well, the New Testament God, the God who is all about love and all about mercy and all about forgiveness. See, that's the kind of God that we can sell. That's the kind of God that people will want to hear about. They won't want to hear about the other God, the angry one. One of the earliest and most radical ways of doing this was done by a man named Marcion. Marcion lived about 100 years after Jesus did. And as Marcion looked at the scriptures, both the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, he came to the decision that they're talking about two different gods. He could not understand how the same God could be so ready to punish and yet so ready to forgive. And so what Marcion did was for himself and for the followers that he gathered, they threw out the Old Testament scriptures and they threw out anything in the New Testament that referred back to the Old Testament. And they were left with part of the Gospel of Luke and several of Paul's letters. That's the only thing they kept. They couldn't see how those two things go together. The mercy of God and the justice of God. And so they decided to get rid of the justice of God and keep only his mercy. And even though Marcion lived a long time ago, and he was thrown out of the church 1,856 years ago, there's still a little bit of Marcion in all of us. Because all of us feel this burden, don't we, of this public relations burden? Of wanting to downplay as much as possible the mean God of the Old Testament? Now, we don't go so far as to throw out the Old Testament or anything like that. But in many ways, we try to highlight a God who is all about love and all about forgiveness and try to keep people's attention away from the God of the Old Testament. We're concerned about public opinion. And in some ways, we really should be concerned about public opinion. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12, Peter writes this. He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." And so there is a sense in which the church is very concerned about public relations. And so we're concerned about how we live. And that our lives on Monday through Saturday reflect the truth of what we say our lives are here on Sunday. So that when the church sees us and the way when people see us and the way we live, they will be drawn to the church. But our concern for public relations can take a misguided turn if we, like Marcion, distort who God is. Take part of him without the rest of him. And sometimes we can do that. Maybe not consciously, but perhaps unconsciously. And we normally do this by setting the Father against the Son. A lot of times in our minds, when we think of our relationship to God, we can make it seem as though the Father, the angry God of the Old Testament, really wanted to destroy us. And he was just about to destroy us until the Son came and got in his way and said, "No, Dad, don't do it. I'll give myself in their place. Just don't destroy them." And so we identify ourselves with the Son as though he is somehow different from the Father. We pit them against one another. We like to talk about the Son, but the Father has a lot of other baggage that he carries along with him, which we sometimes find hard to justify. But that's not the God of the Scriptures. That's not the God of Christianity. That's not the God that we worship. He is not divided. God is not divided in any way. He's not divided in his essence. He's not divided in his will. And so that means that both the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all have the same will. They all seek to do the exact same thing at all times. And so what that means is that the God of the Old Testament is every bit as loving and forgiving as the God of the New Testament.